Good morning, it is morning, yes, good morning, and welcome to the FTS bet slip on Monday the 23rd of December. Right, lots to cover. This is going to be a little bit of a long one. We've got lots to cover today. I've got one football match. I've got a little King George preview for Boxing Day. We've got racism. We've got carrots, parsnips, potatoes. We've got just a little recap of what's going to happen over the next few days with the football. So listen in. Right, where should we start? Let's start with the old Spuds yesterday. Absolutely fucking desperate, weren't they? I put the old 6-0 on Twitter just before kickoff. They all jumped in, didn't they? They all wanker, all idiot. They all jumped in. I'll be honest, I thought we were going to play well yesterday. I was very confident. I thought we were going to turn up. Old Joe says had a week with the players. But you cannot make a silk purse out of a sow's ear. And we have got the old fraud, the old Argentinian fraud, has left us with a load of sow's ears. We have got a poor squad. Whoever looked at Serge Aurier when they paid 20-odd million for him and thought he could play football, and I can't believe the old fraud wasn't involved in that decision. And I'm amazed that Jose keeps looking at him and picking him. I just find it staggering. Keeper's useless. Aurier's useless. Sanchez is useless. Dyer is useless. Lo Celso, Lamella's cousin, is useless. I know he didn't play yesterday. Eriksen tries, but his form's gone because he wants to obviously go. Harry Kane's in a mode whether he scores and does nothing. If he doesn't score, he doesn't contribute. Ali had a bad game yesterday. He's been the one light when Mourinho's taken over, but he had a poor game yesterday. I mean, they were dreadful yesterday, weren't they? They were just absolute garbage. Chelsea, far and away, deserved to win, irrespective of any VAR or what you thought. Absolutely dominated us. Worrying stuff to watch. And old Amers Kev, he's been a one win, one loss. We're going to give him one more go before we complete his transition. And Art came yesterday. You barred Art. You ain't going again. You're done, son. And then obviously the bit of a racism storm, isn't it? And I didn't, obviously we're in the ground and heard the announcements. You know, the game didn't stop, contrary to what people said. The old ref did go over to the fourth official. And by all accounts, it is only one or two people involved. Certainly couldn't hear any audible racist chants, and I haven't done since West Ham made gassing noises at White Hart Lane about 6 years ago. There's no place for it at all. And what it's like when I did that pod, you know, when I said men, no men ever admit to being bad at shagging poker or driving, do they? No one is a racist. No matter what you say to them when they make their racist comments or whatever. I'm not a fucking racist. Yet we have fucking loads of them in the country. Even the guys, you know, the guys, they get caught being racist, say, oh no, I'm not racist. No, the guy making monkey jibes a few weeks back. No, it wasn't racist. It was just an error of judgment. No, it wasn't. You're a fucking racist, mate. Oh, well, I didn't know why I did it. I don't know why I did it. Well, I do, mate. You are a fucking racist. That is what you are, and there is hundreds. Let's stop this false pretense in this country that it doesn't fucking happen. We are a racist nation. Maybe not as racist as other nations, but we have got a racist nation. We've got Boris is a racist, Corbyn's overwhelmed with anti-Semitism and racism, and yet nobody's fucking racist, nobody does anything, nobody's racist. Katie fucking fuckface, whatever her name is, racist, Katie Hopkins, they're just fucking racist, and it's been growing. I mean, I've never in 40 years of going to Spurs and walking the streets of London felt the need to make any fucking monkey symbols at people or whatever. It's an absolute fucking disgrace when you think about it in cold light of day, but nobody is a racist. It's been rising up, as I said in a pod months ago, since Anders Breivik fucking started shooting people in Norway in whatever it was, 2011. It's been rising up and growing steam. Boris is a racist, the president of the US is racist, and when you have people like that in power, others follow, and it's just now become the norm, and it's a fucking disgrace. Even yesterday, there's a bloke gone missing from Lewis or Orpington or somewhere. I can't remember. I just saw a tweet, and I always retweet those because I find it heartbreaking, you know, that somebody hasn't made it home to their family. It does genuinely upset me. And, my boy went out in London the other day, and I had to pick him up. And then he texts me at about 11 saying he was staying out and having a drink and he'll get a cab. And it just worries me. You know, he's 24 years of age, but it just worries me. in being out in that, because anything seems to be able to happen. So I sort of stayed up to make sure that I said, "Don't matter what time it is, I'll pick you up." You know, that's what you do as parents. We all do it, don't we? But when I see people go missing, I do always retweet those. And then I checked in today to see if the guy's been found or not. I was like to see it, and as he hasn't. But you read the replies to the original tweet. You know, you have to click the replies to see if he's been found. And I'm reading down them. And everybody generally is, you know, bent good wishes, hope he's found, I really feel for you. I've retweeted it there. But one guy, Dave from Flint, his response was, "Is this a heavily immigrant area?" I mean, what the fuck? What, I can't even get my fucking head round shit like that, Dave, you fucking complete and utter, and I don't use this word on the pod, C word, mate, that is what you are. Fucking disgrace. Is this a heavily immigrant? And obviously what he was implying, that if it's heavily immigrant, they're the people who are going to do you any harm. What are we fucking living in? And then you click the fucking bloke's profile, and he's, I think he's an American with a fucking Make America Great Again follow, fucking Trump racist prick, that's what he is. Anyway, fuck all that, fucking no place for it, any of them. And as I've said with the football, get the fucking players off. That's what you got to do. That Chelsea player, stay, walk off. Because once you start doing that, you've got people there who're paying £100 to be at that game. If you stop the game, take the entertainment away, the good people are going to turn on these. Whoever that was yesterday sat in amongst good people who will have heard it, seen it, or whatever. I know it's only allegedly, but if it did happen, once you start taking the football away from those good people, they are going to turn and it will be self-policing. Get out, mate. We ain't fucking having this. But all this playing a little tannoy noise, and I don't know what's happened with Gary Neville and Sky Sports, but from what I understand, they try to backtrack from it. It's pathetic. We're just fucking pathetic at dealing with shit like this. And that's the big problem. It's not fucking immigrants coming in. It's not black people, yellow people, white people, whatever anybody else wants to say. It's the fucking way we deal with it. We are pathetic. We enable it. Fucking deal with it. Get the players off. Told you, Southgate prick. Right, enough of that. Xmas dinner. What are we on? We're right. We've done your sprouts. We've got the turkey brine. That'll be nice and juicy, that turkey. Now that'll be an absolute fucking beauty. Make sure you get the old butter right in under the skin. Get your hands in. Get messy. But 5-6 o'clock tomorrow. Soft butter. Bit of salt. Get it in there. Carrots and parsnips today. Right, first things first is get your carrots and parsnips, get a scourer, none of that peeling. Go down the old supermarket, 50p, one of them green scourers. You don't peel carrots or parsnips, just under the tap, give them a quick scrub each, the old, just scrub the dirt off, leave the skins on, that's where the goodness is there. Quick scrub with the old scourer. Right, carrots first, decide what you're going to do with them. You're going to slice them or julienne them. If you julienne them, try and keep them all the same size. If you slice them, if you've got a tapered carrot, as you get down to the thinner carrot, make the slices a bit thicker. So in effect, each slice is a similar mass, so they cook evenly. You don't want the small, thin slices at the end where the bits are tiny. They'll just go all mushy if you cook them too long because you're waiting for the thicker end to cook. So try and keep the sizes the same by making, as you taper, go down the taper, the slices get a bit thicker. Right, once you've done that, we're going to steam them. No boiling carrots. Anybody boiling carrots, again, the old FTS headbutt. Carrots are steamed. So get yourself a steam pan. Pan of salted water, plenty in there. Put the carrots in the steamer. Put in there 3 or 4 star anise, a bay leaf, and a good large handful of thyme. So fresh thyme. You know, you can buy it now in ready packets, almost like half a packet that you would pick up from the supermarket. Lob all that in there, sprinkle over some salt, and throw in a really good knob of butter. So a good 50, 75 grams of butter on the top. Put the lid on the steamer, 15 minutes. Steam them for about 15 minutes. Once you've done that, open the pan out. You might have to lift the old thyme out at that stage, but remove the herbs and the star anise. Another knob of butter. Stir it round to coat the carrots. There you go. Serve them up. If you want to sprinkle them with a little bit of thyme at that stage, feel free to do so. But then you have some beautiful star anise carrots. Oh, lovely. Just adds to the flavour, trust me. Your parsnips, exactly the same. You've scoured them, then you're going to quarter them. If you like them, there's some. I know people don't like to eat the core, remove the core. Once you've quartered them, just slide a knife down the middle and take that core out if you want to. Right, in these, you're going to boil them for 5 minutes. We're just going to get them in a pan of salted water, boil them, remove them, put them on the draining board, let them steam dry. Once they've steamed dry, get yourself a bowl out, put them in the bowl, sprinkle with a tablespoon of plain flour and a little pinch of salt. Turn them round, make sure they're fully coated. Once they're fully coated, couple of tablespoons of honey, turn them round, make sure that they're coated. Leave them to just sit in the honey for 5-10 minutes. Get a pan of vegetable or sunflower oil. Get it in the oven to warm it up for a good 5 minutes there. Once you've done that, just give the old parsnips another stir just to make sure any honey that's coated off goes back on. Take the pan out of the thing, get the parsnips into the pan, back in the oven about 180, 200. Turn them once. Do not keep taking them out. Are they cooked yet? Don't keep taking them out there. Give them 10, 15 minutes, then take them out, turn them once. They'll be golden on that side. All you want is them to go gold. So if you keep turning them, you won't get that colour on them. Turn them over, back in there. After about 35 minutes, you will have beautiful, sweet, honey, golden parsnips. Flipping lovely. Right, and your spuds. I'm now going to tell you how to make the best spuds you will ever eat. There, so you've done your carrots, you've done your parsnips, you've got your sprouts ready because they've been in the ice water. They're going on in a minute. But you're now your spuds, the creme de la creme. We all know what makes a good roast dinner is the old spuds. Right, preferably King Edwards. I know a lot of you will have done your shopping online, already got them, but make a note for future years. King Edwards, if not Maris Pipers, will do. None of that other nonsense, fucking Roosters and all that old garbage. Right, peel them first and portion them. When you cut them into portions, make sure, again, they're the same size. You don't want to get a potato, cut it in two, and you've got two massive halves and another one in four little small bits. Try and cut them, whatever spud you're doing, so you've got similar sized potatoes. Right, once you've done that, we get them in a pan of salted boiling water. Get it to the boil. You want to boil them for a good 5 to 7 minutes. You want the outsides just starting to soften. You don't want them turning to mush, so you need to keep an eye on them. Don't just walk away. But check them after about 5 minutes. Just see, is the outside starting to soften? If it is, that is perfect. You're done. Drain them, steam them, keep the pan. So the pan they've been boiling in, keep that, get it dry. What I'd like to do is put it back on the hob. Obviously you've drained the water out, but get it back on the hob and it just dries out any remaining drips or whatever in the pan. So it's got a nice dry pan. Right, once that's done, while the potatoes and the steam drying, get goose fat or duck fat, nothing else. If you're a charlatan, if you try and pretend that you're using anything else, get yourself goose fat or duck fat in the roasting tin and in the oven. And if you're having a load of people doing a load of spuds, two roasting tins. You do not want cramming them all into one tin. You need a bit of space around them. So get the goose fat in the pan or pans in the oven, 180 degrees fan, 200 if it's just a normal oven, a good 5 to 10 minutes. You want this fat smoking hot. Michael Caine, I went to Michael Caine, he had a share in a restaurant, an argument with the bloke in there. Michael Caine advocates doing spuds in cold oil. Stick to fucking acting, Michael, fuck's sake. You want the fucking oil smoking hot, fucking cold oil. So whilst the oil's in the oven, get your spuds from the drain back into the saucepan you were using, the one that we've dried out. Good sprinkle of rock salt, and now the secret ingredient, minimum 2 tablespoons of semolina. Get it in the pan and give the potatoes then a good hard shake using the handle of the pan. Pick it up, shake it about to coat those potatoes in the semolina salt mix, and just to break the outer so they start looking a bit bashed up, fluffy on the outside. I use Whitworth semolina, comes in a blue box, perfect for this, absolutely beautiful. Good shake, make sure they're all coated and a little bit bashed up. So once that's done that, we know the oil's hot, get the oil out on the top and carefully now put the potatoes into the heated oil or goose fat rather. Carefully making sure you don't just tip it and it splashes everywhere. Little tip, use tongs. What I do is just get tongs and I place them in one by one. You know, got to be a bit haste, you know, fairly quick with your hands, but pick a potato up, put it in the oil. Make sure they are not touching. You want a space around every single potato. You do not want them touching, cramming, stopping them cooking. You want a space around them, back in the oven. Do not touch them for 20 minutes again. We want them to go golden and crisp. So that bottom side, the side that's sitting in the goose fat. That's now going nice and golden. It's beautiful. My mouth's watering thinking about it. 20 minutes, take them out, turn them, back in. Turn them again. I use the tongs. Quick, flick them over, back in. Oh, beautiful. Ladies and gentlemen, you have just got the best Xmas dinner you've ever had. We've brined the turkey and battered it, done it beautifully. We've got the best Brussels with the bacon lardons. Those of you who had a couple of things, what about veggies? Chestnuts. Get some chestnuts, drop some chestnuts, use the chestnuts instead of the bacon. We've got the best carrots with a bit of star anise layered in butter. Oh, beautiful, beautiful. My mouth's watering. We've got the best parsnips, bit of honey, and these spuds are the kiddie. You've got everything, and you've made some gravy. You haven't bought the old bisto. You're fucking away. You're away and done. Right, all that's for nothing. I don't even know how long I've waffled on about that, but there you go. Save this pod, see? Save this. Go back next year. Start listening to these again in December. Right, where are we? Football. Right, let's get back that. Yes. Right, football. Got one game tonight. Konyaspor versus Trabzonspor. Over 1.5. So if it's 0-0 at 20 minutes, start drip backing over 1.5 goals, and remove your liability if you wish to, green up if you wish to, or let it run if you wish to on a goal. But Konyaspor, Trabzonspor, over 1.5, kicks off at 5 o'clock. See, who thought you'd go on the old FTS bet slip and you'd get lessons in racism and lessons in cooking? It's just the way, isn't it? It's brilliant. Right. While I'm on football, let's just talk about, I know I've put it on Twitter and things, and there, right, there are no games on the 24th or 25th, so today is the last game. I will do a couple of pods on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. Pods mean prizes. I'm going to do pods with prizes on the next 2 days, and give away some decent prizes. So you've got a list, but you'll have to be able to listen to win. You've got to be retweeting. We're going to try and drive this pod so that if we go into next year and you want it, I want to make sure people are listening. So we'll have pods with prizes for the next 2 days. I will try not to curse on Xmas Day. I'll do my best to be polite, just in case people have got family there. I don't want them thinking I'm a foul-mouth loon. Right, where are we? What was he doing? Yeah, that's it. Right, so there's no games Tuesday. Always lose the days of the week over Christmas, don't you? No games Tuesday or Wednesday. So today, in effect, is the last day. Tuesday morning, I will do the ultimate process to cover the games being played on Boxing Day, Thursday. So it would be like I would stand and do a midweek, but it will be Thursday's games. Thursday night, then I will close that off and do a standard ultimate process as I would normally do on Friday morning. There will be potentially halftime CSLAs, FTS, FDD. I will do those as normal. So Thursday morning, you know, while you're all recovering from your Christmas, I'll be getting up, grafting. I'll get all that on the website through Boxing Day morning, and that will just continue as normal then Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Right through. So nothing for 2 days, but there will be an ultimate process. So the odd sheets will be out tomorrow and Poisson, and then it will just be normal people. Right, so there we go. Right, horses. I've done the football, haven't I? Yeah, horses. Right, King George. I'm going to give you a little preview to the King George, which is the big race on Boxing Day, just because there's every chance that if I don't, I'll forget. I'm just getting it up now. Look, I'm some sort of... Yeah, right, it is 3:05 on Boxing Day, the King George. Only two horses can win this race, I am telling you. Thistlecrack has had its day. Clan des Oboe, no. Aso, making up the numbers. Footpad, half decent, but no chance here. It will be won by, and one of these, this is a tiger moment, it will be won by Lost in Translation. Lost in Translation will come and claim this race with about 2 furlongs to go and take them out. However, Sire Name is a good horse and that will trade lower. So Sire Name is a horse that I would be trading. It will definitely trade lower unless it falls at the first, which it won't. It will definitely trade lower in running because it's going to try and make the pace here, but it will get picked up by Lost in Translation, who will go on and win this race. So if you want to have a bet on the King George 3:05 Boxing Day because you've had a couple of days and you're shaking in the corner, there you go. Lost in Translation wins it. Sire Name will trade lower. There, you heard it here first. I think that's it. I think I've covered it all. I'm not going to wish you all happy. I will. Happy Christmas to you all, for those who aren't going to listen over the next couple of days, because I do realise that fitting stuff like this in around family time is difficult. I will repeat these happy Christmas sentiments over tomorrow and Friday, but I hope tomorrow and Christmas Day, Jesus Christ, days of the week, I'm useless. Do have a fantastic Christmas, whatever you're doing. It is about being with family and enjoying yourself and thinking of other people, and that's what I think we all need to do going forward. Have a fantastic time. I thank everybody who listens to this podcast. You do make it what it is, and I know at times it's shit and sometimes it's good, and people listen for different reasons to hear me lose my shit, but it is always done with good intention. I try and give you decent information. The stuff I do comment, like the racism, it is my views, it's what I believe, and that's not going to change unless people can convince me otherwise. But I'm like an open book. I will be doing them through next year, provided numbers of listeners maintain some sort of standard that I feel it's worth it. But just thank you and have a fantastic Christmas. But as I say, I will be doing pods the next 2 days, and repeat those sentiments. But it's pods mean prizes. For the next 2 days, pods means prizes. Right, have a lovely, what is it, Monday, innit? Have a lovely Monday. I'm off to Jockland. I'm just about to board a train and get myself up to Jockland to discuss battered Mars bars, indie referendums, what the fuck is haggis, and just basically put them right, because they ain't, are they? They need some help, don't they? They do need a little bit of help, my old Scottish friends. I mean, the accent for a start. I'm meeting old Scotty boy tonight. Lovely meet him. Hello, Ian there. Couple of tenants in. Can't understand a word he says. But love him a bit. So I'm looking forward to seeing you, Scotty, in about, whatever it is, about 7 hours. Have a safe journey, anybody travelling, and I'll be back with you tomorrow.